Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests. Ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I'm your host, Deb Wolf, calling to you from Camp Good Dog. Yes, out in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, where it is once again raining. The summer is over, and I know the people in California are wishing it would rain on the fires. Wishing. So today we have with us, as always, Stacy Mantle from PetsWeekly.com. Welcome to the show, Stacy.
Thanks for having me, Deb. It's great to be back.
You know, a few years ago, I read that men have bigger brains than women. And it doesn't mean anything, but they do. Kind of irritates me. Not a fact I like. But I'm wondering, I know there's some pet news about this. And I know some of the smartest animals, like crows, have a pea brain size brain. And some of the not so smart animals, like horses, have a really big brain. So what's this all about? What's this new stuff coming out about brains and animals, Stace?
Well, it's really interesting because some evolutionary biologists came to study, they studied how our relocation of animals impacts the brain size of animals. And they had some people from the University of Minnesota come up and do a study on six species, and I believe it was, I need to double check, but I think it was a bat, a white mouse, there's six different things that they checked out, and they went into areas that humans have radically changed the landscape. And in the disrupted environment, the one that we went in and impact, forcing the animals to either survive or move, the animals ended up with larger brain sizes.
And larger brains.
Back through,
wow.
Yes, which I thought was really interesting. So as we change the rural population or any population, really, it's starting to impact the way that pets think and how they're forced to sort of think outside the box in order to survive. And it is creating a larger brain size in them. So I thought that was a really interesting study.
Raccoons are supposed to be able to teach each other, retain memory from generation to generation. So they're finding out now, there's a place in Japan where the raccoons are destroying these ancient temples, really holy and historic sites, and the raccoons are invading them and destroying them. And that's all because there was a popular show in the 70s that led a lot of Japanese people to send away for raccoons, import them. And they had these raccoons as pets, and of course they make terrible pets, so they ended up releasing them. And now raccoons are in Japan, where they shouldn't be, destroying these ancient temples. So they've done a lot of studies on it because they're trying to outsmart the raccoons. And every generation gets smarter. And it's incredible. They just don't know what they're going to do. There's just no solutions. So I think sometimes we like to think animals aren't as smart as us when it may not be true, Stacy.
I totally kind of have to agree there. You know, it's interesting because these brain size, I mean, it's substantially larger. It's, I think they said 6% larger on average.
And that's great.
You know,
Imagine what will happen a few generations down if this keeps happening. I mean, they could
6%
in a short time. It's amazing. But they have it would be the smartest animals who would survive, the ones most able to adapt. So I suppose those might have a larger brain. I don't know. It's very interesting.
True. You never can tell. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the future here.
So now there's something else going on with chatting. Am I getting this right? Am I supposed to text my dog? Do I want to text my dog? How can my dog read a text? Speak it for him? Like, what's going on with this?
It's basically communicating with your pet, like when you're out of the home. So essentially what happens, and I need to double check this. I haven't gotten one in for review yet. So I'm just kind of like winging it here on what I saw at Super Zoo. But there's this new product that you put on your dog. It's like a collar. And essentially, you can set up iPod or eye cameras and things like that, so you can kind of see what your dog's up to during the day. And let's say he gets into the garbage can while you're at work, and you happen to notice it while you're on, while you're at work watching him on this video camera, probably not working. But you can actually tell your dog no, and he will. It would be like you were in the room with him right there. So it's kind of controlling your pet while you're away from home, so that maybe they don't think that you're away. It's supposed to relieve anxiety and maybe, I don't know how much yelling at your dog is going to help on a virtual level, but
you can tune into your dog who's terrified of thunder when there's a storm on and say, it's okay, girl, it's all right. I mean, you could do that.
Exactly.
But this thing about catching them in the act, I think most dogs who are naughty enough to get into the garbage are going to say, nah, 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 you can see me, but you can't stop me. You know, they're not going to care if they hear the voice with no actual backup, no presence, no you know, putting them in a timeout, no taking the garbage away. I mean, that garbage, yum, yum.
Exactly, yeah. And what are you going to do? I mean, you can tell them no, but I think it might end up reinforcing them not listening to you because they know you can't do anything about it. So,
yeah, when you talk, it doesn't mean anything. Yeah, exactly. No, I wouldn't do that. And that's true for people who say their commands over and over. You see them all the time in the park. Sit, 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 Pebble, sit. Sit. Well, Pebbles only sits when you really mean it, and she knows you don't mean it. Just say it once. If she doesn't sit, make her sit. And then tell her how good she is in her sit. Do that a couple times, and she'll sit the first time. So if you find yourself repeating commands, that's because your dog just doesn't really take you at your word. You got to start backing up your word with action. Oh, we have 2 minutes left, Stacy. All right, so what else can you tell us about from PetsWeekly.com? What will they see if they go there this week?
Oh, this week we've got all kinds of things going on. Let me pull it up and I'll tell you. Okay, well, we did a fun article on cat bullying, and I think everybody will get a kick out of this. There's been a lot of cases of supposed cat bullying, people being bullied by cats. Apparently, someone in England was attacked by a pack of feral cats, and her and her dog were injured, and it was this whole thing, and that was in the news. So we did a fun article on cats bullying other humans. So that's just going to be a fun story you're going to have a good time with.
Yeah.
We did training treats that don't pack on pounds. That's a really big one. You know, we give a lot of treats out to our pets when we're training them. We don't want to have increased weight coming on from that. So these treats are all under a calorie each, and they're very nutritious. They're all natural, and they're a lot of fun. So there's 5 different treats that we've covered there. Cozy homes, redoing your home for your pet and creating a new nook. It's some great pictures. I think you'll really like those for Pinterest. And just for, again, some design ideas for your home.
All right. Well, that was Stacy Mantle. We've been talking to Stacy Mantle from PetsWeekly.com. I hope you'll come back again next week, Stacy.
Thank you very much. I'd love to.
Okay, well, have a great week. Be good to your animals. We'll talk to you next week on Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Everybody stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
Anytime you're near, I
love you. Hey, pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made, and here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So, do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Pet Talk Radio, and we've got with us Debbie Turner. And at first blush, you might think this is about, well, I don't know what you'd think it was about. We're going to be talking about insurance and dogs and biting, but it's probably not what you're thinking. Dogbitequote.com is the website, and we're talking with Debbie Turner. Welcome to the show, Debbie.
Hello. Well, thank you for having me.
So what is insurance that covers your dog? What is a covered canine policy? What's that about?
That is a policy that I designed. It's a standalone dog bite liability policy, which is to fill that gap. Many homeowners' policies are beginning to exclude the coverage. Many insurance companies are beginning to exclude breeds. What it is not is pet health insurance. This is to protect you in the event your dog bites a person and you are sued or they are injured and need medical care.
Well, okay. So it doesn't protect the dog from being put down, though, does it? Or anything of the sort?
Well, no, but I would think if there was money available for medical care, that could be a mitigating fact. And I believe that it's a societal expectation that if your dog bites me and injures me, that you will take care of me, because it's always your dog's fault. I never make any mistakes. And the public is very uneducated in how to approach a dog, when to approach a dog, if they do approach a dog, how to meet that dog. And consequently, there are a lot of very good dogs will bite simply because they're uncomfortable with that immediate situation.
Are you saying that if a person trespasses on my property and my dog bites them, I have to pay their medical costs?
Very possibly. There are different laws in all different states, but in this day and time, the expectation is that you would, in fact, be responsible for my injuries, and I would expect you to pay for my medical care, which the average claim on a dog bite is $30,000. Needless to say, it will go upwards depending on the number of surgeries that are required. Oftentimes, the homeowner's policy, and this is why the insurance companies have begun to eliminate the coverage, given the right set of circumstances, there have been million-dollar payouts.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I can imagine. I mean, there was someone killed in San Francisco maybe 10 years ago by a think it was a cane corso, but it might have been a press canario. No, there was two press canarios.
It was a press canario.
And they're like mastiffs, they're big, huge, heavy duty
right.
dogs, and they were allowed to run loose in the lobby, and they killed somebody, and a woman who lived an apartment away. So, I mean, this doesn't mean you're not supposed to be responsible, right? I mean, why would people get this policy? They still have to secure their dog. They still have to have good fences. They still have to train their dog. But it's the what if factor, isn't it?
Well, it's so frustrating. I teach a class, all dogs are animals that may bite. And I have never given that class without someone coming up afterwards and saying, Fluffy would never bite anyone. Well, people need to understand that all dogs are animals. And given the right set of circumstances, they will bite. I have two of my three are therapy dogs.
Right.
Would I tell you they would bite on a day-in, day-out basis? No, but if you stepped on one of their feet and you won't get off of it, they would bite because the only protection they have is their mouth, and they are taught as puppies not to have a hard bite or to have a soft bite, but when their life is threatened, they will bite out of fear for their life.
Yeah, and an injured animal will bite. Absolutely. They're out of their mind with pain. They don't even know what they're doing, and they lock down, and they'll bite you, even your own dog. That's why your first aid kit should always contain a muzzle, even if your dog is really well-behaved. If he's out of his mind with pain, you need a muzzle. So, yeah, dogs will bite, for sure. How does someone know if they're already covered, or they won't be? Is it just they won't be unless they get the special policy?
No. Many companies still include the coverage. It's generally found under animal liability, and then that would include reptiles, cats, goats, whatever, you know, miniature horses, whatever animal is in the household. However, the companies are doing a number of different things. Some of them are completely and totally excluding any animal liability. Some of them are excluding specific breeds. Some of them are excluding particular dogs. So they will actually name your dog and they will say Rufus is not covered on this policy.
Okay, is that because Rufus has already bitten somebody? Is that how that works?
It could be a number of different reasons. Most often it's because of the breed and the covered canine policy has no breed restrictions. It is based on what everybody has finally always asked for, how you maintain and care for your dog.
You know, I want to just add one more thing about the biting. I once had a customer checking in their dog, and their dog was epileptic and on Phenobarb. And it was having trouble with the dosages, and so it was having seizures off and on. So she warned me, you know, he might have a seizure in the middle of the night. And I said, well, then he has to be in a private pen at night. He can't be with any other dogs if he might have a seizure. And she said, oh, no, just put him with the Labs and the Goldens. They wouldn't hurt him. And I thought, you know, if a dog is having a seizure, he's completely vulnerable and he's acting really erratically to the other dogs
right.
who are healthy standing there, you don't know how they're going to react to him. Just because they're retrievers doesn't mean they won't bite. And I think people really think, you know, oh, it's a golden. I'll put my kid on its back. Oh, it's a golden. I'll leave it in the daycare and go have a shower. No, it's still a dog, everybody. It's still a dog. So even though these insurance agencies are often listing pit bulls, Rotties, Dobies, Akitas, the dogs you would suspect, the list gets bigger and bigger. I was really astonished. I read it out on air a few months back, and it included things like Labrador Retriever and Cocker Spaniel. And like they were just every kind of dog was on there, big, small, cute, sweet, friendly. There was hardly a dog not named, really. The Seeing Eye dogs were named, you know. So I think the insurance agencies are kind of excluding people's dogs without people even knowing.
Well, don't blame us as agents. We can only sell what our insurance companies mm-hmm. allow us to sell. So
right.
if all of my companies exclude 16 breeds, then my policy is going to exclude those 16 breeds that I sell you. Now, as a reputable agent, I would think it would be my responsibility to tell you, oh, by the way.
Right.
However, people buy a lot of insurance from online companies, and I don't That's not a problem. The Covernick canine policy is sold online. However, when you don't know the questions to ask, then there's no way to get answers. And I have no idea why. I do not personally sell homeowners or personal auto, but I'm finding most people have never been told, have never read their policy, or are just assuming.
Well, what kind – we're going to have to go to break soon, but we can start with this. Can you give me a couple of the questions? Oh, we have 1 minute. Okay, just maybe one question, then we'll go to break and come back. What's a question we should be asking our underwriter?
Your insurance company, I would call and ask if they have an animal exclusion in your homeowner's or renter's policy, and if so, what dogs are excluded or are all dogs excluded? It should be as simple as that.
Well, we'll be back in a minute. We're going to talk more on this topic, and I'm also going to ask you about what's going on with some of the shelters or one of the shelters in Orlando, because I don't think it's good news, and I'd love to get the word out. So we'll be back on All Paws Pet Talk in just a minute. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS. On the web at myfiaa.com.
Hello, we're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, with me, your host, Deb Wolf. And today I've got Debbie Turner, and she's from dogbitequote.com, dogbitequote.com. So do you want to make sure that you're not going to be paying $1 million, $500,000, $30,000, something like this, to somebody who does the wrong thing at the wrong time with your good, well-trained dog who's just protecting your house? I'm kind of worried. Now, I don't think anybody would walk in behind my gates with the beware of dog and the guard dog and this, that, and the other, and five dogs. I think they'd be smart enough not to challenge it. But you never know. I've got newborn puppies out back, so my females are going to be more protective than usual. If I had kids playing in the backyard and a parent came to pick them up that the dogs had never met, maybe a male parent, maybe wearing work boots, and he just came tramping through, I don't know if he'd be greeted so peacefully. So it might be a good idea for me. So, Debbie, welcome back. We're still on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, Smart Animal Talk. And we were talking about the questions to ask. Is it under people's umbrella already? Would they maybe be covered already?
That is, unfortunately, a very sad development. The policies used to be written in what's called a broad form, meaning if you had gaps in your primary policies, such as your auto, your homeowners, your boat, the broad form umbrella would drop down and fill those gaps, including dog bites. However, what has happened is the umbrella policies have gone to what's called a following form. So if you have a motorcycle and you have no insurance, you have a dog and you have no insurance in primary coverage, such as the covered canine policy, then, in fact, your umbrella will not cover. So, again, I would advise people to check with their agents to find out what type of policy they have and whether or not it would respond in the event their dog bites someone.
Is there a reason this has changed? Have there been more dog bites or more people owning dogs? Is there some reason?
This is actually how this became a product. The insurance companies do not understand dogs or dog behavior. It became a subject of fascination for me, and about 10 years ago, I started actually a research paper on this subject. Ultimately, that led to the formation of the Federation of Insured Dog Owners at the dogbitequote.com website and the individual standalone policy that is available today. There have been, they can't figure out what dogs to insure and what dogs not to insure, so they are doing breed selection, and it's not working. The numbers continue to go up annually.
The claims have they not considered using the Good Canine Citizen model, which is that all over the North America, you can put your dog through a test, and if it passes, it's sort of like a driver's license. It's a universal test for decent behavior. He can come, he can sit, he can heal, he won't kill other animals, he won't pick fights, he won't bite people. He can stay, he listens to commands. That's, you know, you got a safe dog as far as a dog can be safe if you pass that. If you fail that, well, why would they insure you? I can see that. But don't they know about that, or is that something they just won't even think
They don't
about?
Understand. They just simply do not understand. And what happened with me was a unique convergence of the knowledge of dog behavior, the recognition that they weren't properly underwriting the policies. And so until now, the only policy you could get is very expensive, very limited coverage, and it's for any dog. So a dog with bite history is going to be included, and there's never been a product designed just for the family dog that has no history of aggression. And I'm hoping that actually as this policy is developed, it will give us more statistical data as to what breed is biting. The three top most aggressive dogs, not dangerous, are dachshunds, chihuahuas, and surprise beagles, Jack Russells. Those are the top four. And so that came as a shock to me.
It doesn't at all, because people who have big dogs have no choice. The ones with the little dogs can sort of, oh, he's naughty, he's mischievous, isn't he the toughy tough, oh, isn't he funny, you know, and they let it get out of hand. If you've got a Rottweiler who's throwing his weight around, you better deal with it, right? But you can sort of ignore a little tiny cutesy-wootsy until it gets mad at somebody, and the poor little kid has stitches to the face.
The problem is all dogs, about one-third of the dogs have a unusual bacteria in their mouths, and a pug here in Florida actually bit a man's friend, and the man died in 48 hours. There was a mom in Texas whose dogs were fighting. She broke it up. They bit her. They had the bacteria. She is now a triple amputee. There is a case where Pomeranian killed an infant. So to say that my little dog is safe because it's little, certainly it does not have the same pound per square inch to do injury, but that does not mean it could not hurt someone.
Yeah, but it also, the little dogs feel more vulnerable, and they get themselves in situations like the one you described where someone's stepping on the dog's paw and won't stop. The little dog, for that will break their foot or, you know, break their back. So they can't afford to put up with as much, and they're much more nervous, generally speaking, because of that. You know, imagine navigating your life if you weighed 10 pounds as opposed to 80, right? It's just different.
Right. And the public has got such a heightened view of using dog bite for retirement plans. I do therapy dog work at a domestic abuse shelter, and occasionally one of my 5-pound dogs, their canine tooth will touch a child, and that child will scream, "Your dog has bitten me." And I explain to them no, but there's a lot of emotion, drama, and hysteria surrounding dog bites. And so that's another reason that people really need to know whether or not they have coverage.
Yeah, and people, if you've got a kid who's afraid, you got to go get them around dogs. Teach them how to greet dogs. Teach them how to behave. The worst thing they can do is scream in an excited, high-pitched voice and run. That is the worst thing they can do. Another bad thing is to bend over top a dog, hug a dog you don't know, touch a dog you don't know. Never do that. And, you know, if you're modeling this, if you're showing your kid that you pet every dog you see without asking, your kid's going to do it when you're not there. Oh, we only have 2 minutes left, and I did want to ask you, is there something going on at the Orlando shelter that our producer wants the news out about?
Yes, but I do want to tell you that in order to get the covered canine policy, it takes about 10 minutes online. You answer about 15 questions. If you want to purchase the policy, you upload a picture of your dog. You purchase it with a credit card, and then you will get a doggy ID card and the full policy. The whole process would take less than 5 or 10 minutes.
And is that at dogbitequote.com?
Yes, it is.
Okay, right on. So you can get it right now. If you're thinking about this and you want to do it right now, you can, in 10 minutes from now, you'll be covered if your dog bites someone
Correct.
Who's stupid
Correct.
Enough to do the wrong thing. All right. So
Orange County Animal Services has come under fire, and it was just a timing thing. I am on the Animal Advisory Board. What happened was they accidentally put down a dog. In the response to a citizen inquiring, the shelter veterinarian replied very rudely. Well, at the same time that came to me, I forwarded it to my commissioner. In the meantime, the media got a hold of it, but not before I got the pictures of Chance, which was a little four-year-old dog. He was extremely matted, and the groomer lifted the mat. And one thing everybody needs to know is if you have a matted dog, never use scissors, because when they lifted the mat up off his head, they literally cut his eyelids off.
Yeah, they
That's
tore
not
his skin.
The sad part.
Oh.
The sad part
okay.
is...
You know what? We don't have much time left. Where
okay.
can they find out more about this story?
I would just type in Orange County, Florida Animal Services, and it should pop up.
Okay. Well, thank you for joining us today, Debbie. It's been a great time listening to you and learning about this, and I think I'll be better covered after this. Thanks so much.
Thank
Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk.
And anytime you're near.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Hello, welcome back to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with me, your host, Deborah Wolf. And I was talking about puppies earlier. If you want to see my standard poodle puppies, you can check them out on Facebook. It's Camp Good Dog on Facebook. That's my boarding kennel. And the puppies, they were born June 1st. About half of them have sold now, but the other half, well, three, it's going to be a few days and they'll all be gone because there are people coming to look at them. So you better check them out soon. But we put a doggy cam on them and we followed them around for a while. We sent a golden retriever into the mix, our little golden retriever reporter. And it was really funny to watch what they did. They kept bumping into the camera and yeah. So it's going to be on YouTube and there'll be links up through Facebook, Camp Good Dog. So check us out. So right now, just because. You know, just because it's funny. All right, so right now, we're going a new direction here. We're talking with Alan Anderson, and he's got a book, A Dog Named Leaf, The Hero Who Saved My Life. So welcome to the show, Alan.
Oh, hi. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you. So, okay, Leaf. What kind of a dog was Leaf?
Well, Leaf was a rescue dog. He was at the shelter. He was dumped there by somebody that we don't know. He was just abandoned. He was about a year old, and when we went to the shelter to look to see if we wanted to adopt, we found him there looking as cute as he can be. He's a little Cocker Spaniel, black one. I'm still trying to visualize a golden retriever reporter in my mind. I'm thinking that.
Well, and she's pregnant, so she loves being around the puppy. She's a funny girl. So, yeah, she was the perfect one to send in there. She's just a little bit bigger than them and right angle, you know. So the camera on her neck was just above their heads. It was perfect. But, okay, so you've got a cocker. Now, I heard of a cocker who saved a trucker. This trucker rescued a Cocker Spaniel. And within 2 weeks of that, he jackknifed on the road in the winter, went off in the ditch. Nobody could see the truck or him. This Cocker Spaniel hiked it all the way back to the highway. And when an RCMP, this is in Canada, when an RCMP officer drove by, this little purebred dog was standing in the middle of the wilderness with its paw in the air. So he tried to get it to go in the car, and it wouldn't. And it made him follow him, and the guy got saved. And that's the kind of payback you get from a rescue dog. So here I am, a dog named Leaf. How did Leaf become a hero for you?
You know, that is a beautiful story. And you just have to love cockers or all dogs when you hear stories like that. They just are amazing. I can't get over how amazingly intelligent and capable they are. Just in those moments when you really need something to happen, they're there for you no matter what. And Leaf was that way for me. I mean, we adopted him, but, you know, the truth of the matter is he was abandoned, and he was a wreck. He had come from a background of probably some abusive situation. He didn't like people touching him. He didn't like anything. He growled. He snapped. He did all the things that would have had him put down had we not adopted him. So
right.
We brought him home, and I brought him home. You know, we didn't really know the full extent of his problems until we brought him home. But he was such a trooper. And, you know, he would howl all night. He wouldn't sleep. He would be frightened. And I said right then and there to Leaf, Leaf, no matter what, you're staying, and you're going to be getting through this, and we're going to work on this together. So at night I would put him in my little recliner chair, and I would hold him on my chest, and I would, you know, say soft things to him like, you know, he's loved and everything's going to be okay. And finally, after a couple of nights of really not getting a lot of sleep, he started snoring on my chest, which means I could sleep.
Nice.
And I could start snoring, too. So slowly but steadily, week after week, he got better and better. Well, during that time period, amazingly, I've always been healthy, and I've always been really, you know, kind of in pretty good shape. I found out I had a brain aneurysm, an unruptured brain aneurysm. And when I found that out, I had a real incredible emotional kind of breakdown. I found it out at the office. I got a call from the doctor. I was having a dizzy spell, so got some x-rays, and he called and said, Alan, you know, you got something going on, and it's serious. And I realized that I really was having some real problems accepting this, and I was in denial. And my father was a stroke victim, so I knew how brain damage affected people and the quality of their lives. Well, Leaf was there for me. From that moment forward, he knew he had a job, and he knew his job was to comfort me and be with me and help me through whatever trauma or whatever stuff I was going through as I was learning and getting more involved in the process of finding the correct solution. And basically, it ended up being brain surgery in order to clip it and make sure everything was going to be working properly. Well, the reason for the subtitle is this. And this is kind of interesting because it's not quite as overt as a dog going out to the street and raising his paw in the air and telling the people driving by, we have a problem over here. Stop.
Please come help me. Yeah.
I mean, that's a beautiful story. I love that.
Very blatant. And the fact that 2 weeks earlier, or a few weeks earlier anyway, they hadn't even met. Like, this dog wasn't pampered as a puppy, didn't grow up with the guy, just met, right? Very new relationship, you know?
I love that. That's a beautiful story. And it says so much about him as an individual, the dog, and also the person that they connected so completely just in a few weeks, because they must have been a real deep, growing trust and love, and he was going to determine to keep this going by making someone come over and help. But Leaf, now, let's say I'm going through some stuff, and, of course, I had a whole background where I saw and worked with people that had brain damage and mental problems. So therefore, I saw that I did not want to become a person that needed help from others just to live my daily life. I wanted to be strong and independent like I've always been. And even with successful surgery, sometimes there's side effects and different things. So I was going through my own deal. Well, one night I had a dream, and it was one of those reality-type dreams where you think, oh, this is real, but it really wasn't. It was just a dream, but it was a real substantial dream where I saw all these people, these wonderful people, many of them I knew, a lot of them friends, family, and they were just hundreds, if not thousands of people, and they were all in this big line going into this gigantic building structure. And I learned that it was looked as upon as the building of life, and all the books and libraries and forests and lakes and experiences and love and families and all the things that people would experience was represented in that building. So all these people were in line going into the building, very, very fast-moving line, and they all had a ticket in their hand. They were allowed to go in because they had a ticket to continue with their lives and go into the building of life and experience all there was to experience. And I looked at my hand, and my hand was empty. And in the dream, I didn't have a ticket. And I was thinking to myself, well, you know, maybe my subconscious is trying to tell me something that I really can't accept outwardly, that things are not going to go well, and there's other things going on, and maybe the... So I woke up in a sweat. And this dog who doesn't like to be touched, who doesn't like to be... he's just always howling and having all these problems, jumped on the bed, which is very unusual, and let me pet him, and he was comforting me. And he was being there for me, seeing that I was in need, even with his background as being abused. At least that's what we thought because of his actions and reactions to people. Well, later on that morning, I told my wife, Linda, about the dream, and I showed her my empty hand, and I was kind of visual, and in my head, I was talking about it very graphically about not having a ticket and what could that mean. And Leif was sitting there, you know, just listening to every word, just listening as much as he could possibly listen. Well, he did something he had never done before. And
okay,
really,
Alan,
yes.
we're going to make them hang on through the break to find out what Leif did.
Okay.
All right? And we're going to tell them what it was like for you. And we're going to talk about all kinds of interesting stuff right after this break on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike toe leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf, your host, calling from the rainforest where it's raining, but they tell me it's the sun will come out for the long weekend. One last time, maybe, till spring? Maybe not. Maybe we'll have a long, hot, sunny summer. We had a beautiful summer. Beautiful, beautiful summer. So people were being told all about how to keep their dogs cool and watered and how to avoid the fires, all that kind of stuff that finally is ending with the rains. And right now I'm talking to Alan Anderson, and we're talking about a dog named Leaf, the hero who saved his life, which is what the book's called. And we were halfway through the story, and you'd had a terrible dream, and you needed comforting, and this dog who didn't like to be touched by anybody had climbed on the bed with you to give you comfort. And so, Alan, would you mind continuing?
Well, yes. I mean, it was such a sweet moment that he did that. And, you know, this is a dog who didn't like to be touched, and I was actually able to caress him and actually feel like I had a friend. It was such a sweet moment. But later in the morning, I told my wife about the dream and my not having a ticket and how maybe there's something going on some level that tells us that maybe we have to plan for the things that, you know, are not really good for me in our future because we're a writing team and we have all these projects. Well, Leaf heard the story and went and did something he never did. He went to the table and he pushed off magazines and newspapers and started ripping them up into little pieces. And he gathered them up in his mouth, and he'd bring them over to me, trying to give me the pieces of paper. And when I didn't take them, he would drop them at my feet, and he would go get some more paper and bring them back to me. In my mind, now
was he trying to give you a ticket? No.
Yes.
You think you had his dream? You shared his dream?
Well, I don't know. I mean, he was listening, and you know how dogs are. They tend to pick up on images and how important and emotional something is at the moment, and he was trying to make it okay. He was trying to make me feel like, okay, he wants it. He really, really. So that plus the possibility that there was, in fact, a sharing, and there he did understand and really was part of who I what I was in the dream and also how I talked about my experiences with my wife a little later in the morning.
You know what occurs to me, too? I mean, it's possible because dogs do think visually. And if a person is thinking in pictures as they talk, then if you pictured in your mind the segment of the dream where you were holding a ticket and it looked like a piece of paper, he might have done that just to be part of that.
Exactly.
But I also think it's quite a – it matches what I would call a brooding behavior. My girl dogs, when they're pregnant and they're about to have puppies, will do things like this. It's creating a nest. And to give you comfort when you're ill, to create a nest, a whelping box, is also quite a different kind of gesture but also quite interesting, you know, and giving. It's a, I'm not sure which one he was doing, but what a concept that he actually – yeah, that he's reading your mind, really.
I feel like that he was connected with me, and as I think that a lot of animals are pets, especially those who live with us and they're part of the family, they're connected so deeply with each of us on an emotional level, some would say on a spiritual level, definitely on a physical level because they're looking at you for dinner and for lunch and for breakfast, and everything else is important to them. They look towards you, and they are reading everything you do. And I really do believe that, like you said, because they're visual, they may be picking up on things that we may not understand or really comprehend, but we do see the results, and a lot of times the results is very much communication beyond just the words.
Well, you know, they've done a lot of research on healing effects of pets, and one of the stats I find memorable, so it sticks with me, is that if you have a heart attack and you have a dog or a cat, so it's not about exercise. If you have a heart attack and you have a dog or a cat, or you get a dog or a cat, you're 8 times more likely to be alive a year later than if you don't have any pets. And they don't know why. Some people speculate that we release oxytocin, a healing kind of feel-good hormone in ourselves when we're with pets. It's obvious that being around a dog lowers the blood pressure and heart rates of the owners always. Now, that makes sense to me because, you know, if I'm trying to sleep and I'm worried about, I don't know, break-ins or anything like that. If I have a dog and the dog is asleep, I know there's nobody breaking in, right? If the dog's quiet, everything's good because the dog would bark if there was trouble. So, of course, when I have quiet dogs around me, I'm more relaxed than when I don't, and I think it's my job to listen for somebody who might be breaking in. So I think on a really primitive level, they affect us. What do you think, Alan?
Oh, I totally agree. You know, there's this sense of feeling secure. Even on a psychological level, there's stability in your home because there is that element of there's someone here to protect me, to bark, to let me know that something's going on. And also with that, there's that measure of protection allows the heart and the stress and the daily existence that we go through. I mean, so many people go through so many things each and every day, they don't even have time to take it in. But when they come home and they can let it all go and they know there's a dog there that just loves them unconditionally no matter what, they just adore that person. You know, isn't it nice to be adored? To have the adoration of a pet, and they just look at you with just such adoration, and then that sort of relaxes you, and you feel like you're safe and everything is good, just like you said a moment ago. And I think the stress and the heart disease that might come from a tremendous amount of stress in our daily lives is reduced to some degree. There's studies, and there's actually studies that show that people with dogs or with people with pets have fewer heart attacks than people that don't have a pet in their lives. So what the reasons are, that I think what you just said was exactly right.
I think dogs keep us in the moment. Cats too. They're not in the past or the future, really. They're here now, right? They keep us in the present.
They certainly do. Am I worried about what's going to happen in the future? Am I regretting what happened in the past? Or am I just looking at right now and seeing the fun that we can have because that dog really likes me to throw the ball?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And if that's throwing a ball less well than I did last week when I was more healthy, who cares? The dog doesn't care. He just wants you to do something with him, right? It's just the interaction.
It certainly is. It certainly is.
Well, we only have 2 minutes left, Alan. How can people find your book, A Dog Named Leaf?
Well, the book is in all the chain bookstores and also on all the independent bookstores. It's on the online bookstores, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and the rest. It's also available at angelanimals.net, which is our website. We have quite a few books we've written over the years, and this is the most recent, my memoir, A Dog Named Leaf, but we have many animal books about that special relationship between people and their pets and the incredible experiences they have. All the bookstores and, of course, at angelanimals.net if you want to visit. We also have a free newsletter with a brand new story every week. It goes out if you subscribe, and you'll be able to read a brand new inspirational or uplifting story about an individual and the wonderful dog, cat, fish, bird, well, whoever is sharing their lives with them and their experiences with that animal.
You know, if I have to go to heaven, if that's how it plays out, I don't want a ticket and I don't want a lineup. What kind of heaven is that where you have to line up with a ticket? That's no good. Come on. They should have at least the timing right, the entrance big enough and you know, everybody allowed in. That's the kind of heaven I want to go to, like a big beach party, not like a building. Oh, no.
Oh, I
don't
I
think
like
we're
beach
going
parties.
To the same
that would
place,
be fun.
You know.
Beach parties sound perfect.
Okay. Well, if you are taking your dog to the beach, take water, take shade, take sunscreen, and be careful. All right. So we've been talking to Alan Anderson. And how can they get – is it a website? Is there a .com for them?
Oh, yeah, www.angelanimals.net. And also adognamedleaf.com. And you can visit either one, and they're linked to each other to see more about the book.
Right on. Well, thank you very much for joining us today on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And everybody, until next week, be good to your animals.
And anytime you're near.